This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Jimmy Johnson, the Hall of Famer. He has a new book called Swagger, Super Bowls, Brass Balls, and Footballs, a memoir recounting his great career, life, and lessons on winning. You can get your copy online wherever books are sold. Jimmy, good to have you back on. What's the worst weather you ever coached in?
Oh, Dan, well, when I was at University of Pittsburgh, we had, you know, we had a couple of feet of snow when we played Penn State. And a few cold games when I was with the Cowboys going up to play the Giants. But, you know, really no horrible, horrible weather. I wasn't half the coach when we were in bad weather. I looked like the Michelin man on the sideline trying to stay warm.
That's why you took the Miami job.
Exactly right. That's why I live in the Florida Keys.
Tougher to replace Tom Landry or Don Shula?
Well, you got to, you know, both of them great, great coaches. But, you know, Tom Landry had had three straight losing seasons. And his last season before we got there was 3-13, which was the worst in the league. And so I think people were ready, you know, to make a move. And, you know, when I got there, you know, like I said, you know, he's a great football coach, but they just didn't have any talent. And going Shula, they got beat in the playoffs, you know, right before. And, you know, people talking about him retiring as well. Obviously difficult replacing either one of them. But I always told people, I said, hey, they both were great, great coaches, Hall of Fame coaches, you know, but just let me do my thing.
What was it that you did that was different?
Yeah, the one thing that I always tried to, you know, really concentrate on was, you know, bringing in talent, evaluating talent. And that's, we have people come down to the Keys, you know, coaches, general managers, owners, not only football, but, you know, baseball, you know, people, basketball people. And they say, you know, what was the key for you as far as evaluating talent in building a team? And so, you know, when I was at Oklahoma State, when I was at University of Miami, I was my own personnel director. And I personally evaluated the players before we ever signed them or drafted them, et cetera. And so I think personnel was as much as anything else in building a team.
Okay, but how do you do that? I mean, it's all in the eye of the beholder, but you were seeing something that was different than a lot of other coaches and GMs were.
Well, you know, I emphasize certain things. You know, number one was intelligence. I mean, you look at the first four picks, you know, when I went to the Cowboys, Troy Aikman, academic All-American. You know, Darryl Johnston, academic All-American. Mark Stebnoski, academic All-American. Tony Tolbert, academic All-American. You know, that's in the first four rounds. And, you know, those players get better and better. You don't have the problems off the field. They improve as time goes on, and they really contribute. I always said, you know, I look for five things. I said, number one is intelligence. Number two, I wanted a gym rat. I wanted somebody that was going to compete, you know, somebody that making a difference. It was shooting pool or pick up basketball. They wanted to compete. And the other thing is I wanted a worker that had passion for what they were going to do, that would willing to work around the clock. R.C. Buford, for instance, general manager of the Spurs, you know, he's been down here twice. And he said, you know, Pop's going to retire one of these days. Would you be concerned about a college coach? You know, what do you look for in hiring somebody? I said, it's no different than what I talk to companies about, you know, in hiring workers and, you know, hiring people for any company. I said, give me somebody that's intelligent. Give me somebody that's got passion for the job, that really wants to put themselves totally into it. And give me somebody that's willing to work around the clock to get the job done. I don't care what they know. If they don't know anything about the job, they'll learn what to do, and they'll learn how to do it. So give me those three things, and you're going to have somebody that's going to be successful.
Why write a book now?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, with all the people coming down the Keys, my attorney, Nick Christen, said, hey, you got to write the story. And then after I got into it, and we started not only talking about the talent and building the team, we started talking about the struggles, you know, that I went through and my family went through. You know, both of my sons played football. I never saw either one of them play a game. And, you know, the book was almost an apology to my sons and my family that, hey, I would have liked to have been there for you, but I was always trying to win a championship. I always felt like I had to outwork the opposing coach. And so in some ways it was an apology to my family. And I talked to my boys about it, and they said, hey, Daddy, he says, we understand we would have loved to have had you there, but by the same token, we benefited from all those, you know, successes that you had. Like the one son, Chad, in fact, there's a chapter in the book about it. You know, he suffered through alcoholism for many years, and he went through recovery and started a rehab center in St. Petersburg, Tranquil Shores. Now he's got a second one right outside of Austin, Tranquil Hills, super successful, and it's really, really rewarding for me to put that in the book.
But how much did you beat yourself up over that? You know, do you take responsibility in some way that your son became an alcoholic?
I don't know that, you know, my wife Rhonda said, hey, you were too hard on yourself and you took too much responsibility for that. But the only thing I say, Dan, is if I'd have been there, maybe I could have nipped it in the bud. You know, probably the most emotional I think I've ever been, they have a client reunion there at Tranquil Shores, and I've been there three or four times. And they have the mothers and daddies of the clients that are in recovery go up and speak at the podium. And mothers and daddies will get up, and I'll be sitting next to Chad there in the audience, and they'll say, Chad, thanks for saving my son's life. One lady got up and said, Chad, you picked up my daughter at 2 o'clock in the morning, drove her around for 4 hours, talking to her, counseling with her, and then took her to detox. Thanks for saving my daughter's life. I mean, I'm sitting there teared up, you know, and sitting next to Chad, and then I've got to talk. I've got to finish it up. And I said, listen, you know, I won national championships. You know, I won Super Bowls. And I said, nothing that I've ever done can compare to what y'all are doing, saving lives.
Well, you look at the, and I've talked about this on my show about being at SportsCenter. I was working second shift for 15 years and missed out on an awful lot. And you never, my wife said, stop beating yourself up. But it's hard to say that. And, you know, your kids, I have four kids, but you still, you hold it in and you're like, God, was I selfish? And you sort of run, you know, try to find the balance there. And I don't know if there's a balance in what we do or coaching and other professions.
Yeah, you know, I speak to companies all the time, and And, you know, I visit with the CEOs and the presidents and et cetera, et cetera. And the thing that I found out, you know, people that are really successful, you know, ahead of these companies, they don't put in just 40 hours. You know, they sacrifice.
Yeah.
They have their struggles. Just like, so it's not just in sports. It's not just head football coaches. I think sometimes head football coaches take it a little bit to the extreme, sleeping in the office and stuff. But really, anybody really successful, they got to put their whole body into it. It can't be just a 40-hour week.
He's Jimmy Johnson, the Hall of Famer, and the new book is Swagger, Super Bowls, Brass Balls, and Footballs, a memoir. You can get it online, wherever books are sold. I've spoken about this many, many times on the show, that not everybody who's a great coordinator should be a head coach. The difference between being a coordinator and a head coach on a day-to-day basis is what?
Ron Dable called, and we talked for about an hour, and he asked, he said, you know, what's the best advice you can give me? I said, Brian, I said, you know, you've been a great coordinator, X's and O's, and, you know, schemes. I said, but when you had walked down that hall, nobody cared. You know, if I gave a damn. I said, but now you're the head coach. You're the leader. You walk down that hall and every head will turn. If you're going to get the best out of the organization, you've got to have interaction. Because let me tell you what, no one wants to be ignored by the leader. And I said, you've got to have interaction with the secretary, with the administrative assistant, with their backup offensive guard, with the intern coach. It doesn't always have to be upbeat and positive, but I have some interaction. You know, make sure everybody's on the same page. And I was so impressed with Brian. One of the things he said, oh, yeah. He said, in fact, I took pizza down to the equipment guys just the other day. And I said, yeah, get them all on the same page.
But you put in more time college or NFL as far as a head coach?
Bradshaw asked me on the show one time, said, you know, how about the difference of two? I said, Terry, there's not a world of difference between college coaching and pro coaching. There's a galaxy of difference. It is, I mean, the length of the sea. When you're the head coach of a college, you know, especially one of those top 12 schools, you're a father figure. You're a mentor. You know, you got young kids that left home for the first time in their life. They got girlfriend problems. So you're in your office counseling them. You know, now in professional football, hey, it's, you know, the parity, it is so close between the best and the worst. If you don't go out there and play well, you're going to get beat. But that doesn't happen. In the top colleges, they have so much more talent than the teams they're playing. You know, my wife, Rhonda, you could have won 10 games at University of Miami. You know, but if you don't play well in pro football, you're going to get beat.
When you retired, give me the job that you almost came back out of retirement for.
Well, you know, first of all, when I left Dallas, you know, and I did Fox for a couple of years, Philadelphia, you know, Jeffrey Lurie, who's a good friend, you know, he talked to me a couple of different times. And I thought long and hard about it. And then McKay with Tampa, I thought long and hard about that one. Tom Benson came down. Bob McNair came down. Houston, New Orleans. And, you know, I thought about it. Philadelphia one was one that I kind of was interested
in. Any college jobs?
But the bottom line was I wanted to live here in South Florida. So that's why I ended up taking the Dolphin job.
Did you think about going back to the U at all? Any point?
Oh no. Yeah, I mean, I love University of Miami, and they're struggling right now. But I think they got the right head coach with Mario Cristobal. I think they will be fine in time, but this is a struggle this year.
It's amazing. You've done all these things, but you're still identified as the former Cowboys head coach, it feels like. I mean, that's the power of that brand. Do you give unvarnished opinions about the Cowboys? Or is there a
question? You know, sometimes the problem is anytime I say anything about the Cowboys, positive or negative, yeah, that's going to be a headline in Dallas. And I mean, you know, hey, I'm not always right. Obviously, no one's always right. But they're going to ask my opinion and I'm going to give it. I mean, I actually said a week ago, I thought this was the best Cowboy team that I'd seen in a while. Now they played poorly against Green Bay. They turned the ball over. They didn't play good run defense. and that was a disappointment. But I think this is a talented Cowboys team. And in the NFC, you know, there's four or five teams that any one of the five could be in the Super Bowl. I don't think there's a great team in the NFC.
Yeah.
And so any one of the five could make it.
There are a lot of coaches, former coaches, front office people that were deeply offended that Jeff Saturday moved in front of the line for the Colts. You, as a former coach and now analyst, your reaction?
I don't know that I was offended. I understand it. In professional football, only one vote counts, the guy that owns the team. And he can hire whoever he wants to hire. And I don't think we should be surprised by any of them hiring, because some of those guys that own the team, maybe they don't make good decisions. Now, Jeff Saturday, really a good guy. He's been around football a long time, even though he hasn't coached other than high school. I would say that, there's hundreds of black and white coaches out there. They're a lot more qualified, but I wasn't offended.
Yeah, people jumped on it, and then he ends up winning that game. And then I wondered, sometimes as a head coach, you have to let others do their jobs. When you get to Sunday, just do your job. Maybe you don't coach as much on Sunday as you do during the week. Does that make sense?
Well, the one thing Jeff Saturday did, he put Matt Ryan back in there at quarterback. So yeah. That made a big difference. so he made one good decision there. Being the head coach, I think it's the longevity is what you've got to look at. I mean, it's a very difficult job. You've got to deal with a lot of different people from diverse, backgrounds. You got to deal with those assistant coaches. You got to deal with, 50 or 60 players. So there's a lot more to it than just coaching one game.
Is there a Michael Irvin story in the book?
Oh, I'm sure Michael's in there somewhere. We've got Michael Irvin stories. We got Lonzo Highsmith stories. Hey, one time before we played Oklahoma, we got some stories about them calling Brian Bosworth. And then we got World Wide West and Leon Rose. They drove my Corvette from the NFC Championship game to Atlanta before the Super Bowl. We've got a lot of good stories in there.
What's the craziest story, though, that you ever encountered?
The craziest story, the craziest story of when I was at the University of Miami is when Melvin Bratton and Alonzo and Jerome Brown, them called Brian Bosworth before we played the morning before pregame meal and said, "Hey, guys, you awake? You awake? Well, we're fixing to kick your ass." And then they come running to me in the pregame meal and say, "Coach, guess what we did?" Well, what am I going to say? I'm not going to jump onto them. And which they did. But that was part of swagger. Michael Irvin said, part of swagger. And he said, what we did, he said, we're going to tell you we're going to kick your rear end. Then we're going to kick your rear end. And then later on, we're going to talk about kicking your rear end. But he didn't say rear end.
Yeah, I'm sure. But coaching somebody like Mike, who, had great passion, but you always probably knew that you could get a phone call at night that Mike might be in trouble.
Michael never was a problem. Now, I think after I left, he got off the rails just a little bit. But it was funny, if I hollered at Emmett would go into a shell. I wouldn't get anything out of him the rest of practice. If I hollered at Michael, I could cuss him like a sailor. He had just worked that much harder. I hollered at Charles Haley a few times. Charles came to my office and he said, "Coach, I love playing for you. Just don't embarrass me in front of the other players." So you had to know how to deal with each individual.
How about Troy?
I never hollered at Troy. Are you crazy?
I still love that story, and I'm paraphrasing, but when you said that if somebody fell asleep in a meeting, I'd cut them. But if Troy fell asleep in a meeting,
I'd tell him to wake up. It's simple. I told every team, I said, "Listen, I'm going to be very consistent. I'm going to treat every single one of you differently." And I said, "How I treat you? The harder you work, the more you meet the rules and regulations, the more you do what I ask you to do, and the better player you are, the higher you are up on the scale. If you don't do those things, you're not a good player. You got no margin of error.
It's great to talk to you. The book is Swagger, Super Bowls, Brass Balls, and Footballs. We're talking to Jimmy Johnson, and get your copy online wherever books are sold. You look great, sound great, and hopefully you do well with the book. Thank you again, Jimmy.
All right, Dan. Hey, enjoy talking with you.
That's Jimmy Johnson, Hall of Famer. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The truly brilliant all-electric EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz features some of the smartest tech ever to grace four wheels. With Dynamic Select, you can fine-tune hundreds of vehicle settings to precisely match your driving style. And available in off-road mode, transparent hood lets you see through the sheet metal to steer clear of bumps and potholes directly beneath you. How about that? A 360 array of cameras and sensors constantly alerting you for danger, while 64-color ambient lighting lets you fully customize the ambiance inside the spacious cabin. The EQE SUV is so smart, even the headlights are thinking. Optional digital light technology projects navigation markings and warnings on the road ahead as you drive. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Test drive the EQE SUV. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQE-SUV.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
John Murphy, he's been calling the Bills action radio play-by-play for 19 seasons now. We thought we'd check in with John to gauge what's in store coming up this weekend. John, what are the plans for the game, and is there a plan B right now?
Yeah, well, there is a plan B, but it's not public right now. But, yeah, the plans are 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. I just listened to a pretty respected weather forecaster here who said, by Sunday, it'll be over. There won't be any new snow on Sunday. It'll be sunny, actually, on Sunday. But it's, of course, the lead-up to Sunday, including, starting tonight at 7 o'clock until maybe tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, Thursday night into Friday, where there could be as much as 2 to 4 feet of snow. So we'll see.
What would be plan B, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, they have 8 years ago, the move to Detroit, right? And that's been talked about a lot. It was a pretty successful move. Actually, it was right around this time of year in 2014. There was a bad November snowstorm. And the difference is that occurred on a Tuesday, and the Bills got out of here a little bit earlier than they would at this point. But they would go to Detroit and play that game. The Lions are out of town, and so they would play at Ford Field probably 1 o'clock on Sunday. The Bills would lose that home game, and actually the Bills play – Thanksgiving Day in Detroit also, you know, 4 days later. So maybe they stay. I don't know. But I haven't been apprised of what their plan is. And they have a million scenarios as to what could happen. Right now, they're still planning on playing 1 o'clock on Sunday, but we'll see.
You think the Bills want to play whatever it takes to be able to play this game at home instead of we can play, you know, a neutral site and play in, you know, sterile conditions there in Detroit?
Yeah, I think they'd rather play at home just because at this point it would be a pretty major disruption of the routine, right? I mean, they practiced yesterday, practice scheduled today. They have an indoor practice facility, the same on Friday. To pick up everything and move it would, I think, entail a lot of upheaval, and I don't think they're up for that. As I said, the forecast is for sunny skies, and they're used to playing in the cold, so I don't think they're afraid to play in wintry conditions Sunday. Even if it is sunny, it'll be chilly and maybe a little breezy. But, yeah, I'm sure their preference is to stay home, to play at home and not pick up the whole operation, not even considering the amount of revenue they could lose if they have to forego a home game. You know, that's a lot of money down the drain they wouldn't have.
What's the fallout been from the loss to the Vikings?
Oh, it's not good, but I think they're in good shape. I mean, it's weird. It's a weird fan base that almost expects the Bills to go to the Super Bowl now. And I think, and you've been around a long time like I have, and you think nobody – and should have an expectation to go into the Super Bowl. The league is so competitive and is so evenly matched that to have an expectation to go into the Super Bowl, I think, is unrealistic. However, you know, the Bills have lost just three. Last Sunday, losing to Minnesota was a tough one. Minnesota's a pretty good team, and they lost in overtime on a play that – on a game that had maybe four or five plays that if either any of them had gone the other way, then the Bills would have won. I mean, they were evenly matched, if not slightly better than Minnesota. So I think they need to get back on track. You know, they need to start this week against a decent Cleveland team who'll be ready to go and have their backs up against the wall. But I think the Bills clearly have more, even with the injuries the Bills have, they have more talent than the Cleveland Browns, but they've got to play like it. And the big question, of course, is Josh Allen, right? I mean, he's got to play better. He's had a rough couple of weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks. And I think I don't think it's a physical question as much as it is right now. I think he's pressing too much. He knows all the injuries they've had defensively, and he's probably pressing too much trying to make up for some of the injuries they've had. And it's come back to haunt him with all the red zone interceptions for them in the last 2 weeks.
Where do we stand on a new stadium for Buffalo?
Well, the shovel should go in the ground next spring, right across the street from Highmark Stadium. It'll be a little smaller stadium. It'll be open air with a covered canopy over most of the seating, but the plan is to get the construction started next spring. They've got a few other loose ends to tie it before that actually happens, but I think they're on target to have that done.
But open air, they're going to still invite the elements in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, a dome is kind of cost prohibitive. And to be honest, I was thinking about this today. This is the 49th year of the stadium here in Orchard Park. And so far, there's only been one game forced in those 49 years, one game forced to move. So there's, you know, the fans can kind of put up with it. They will have more covered seating to get them out of the rain and sometimes the cold rain and the snow that will fall. But, yeah, it's going to be open air, especially over the field. It'll be totally open air.
Good luck this weekend, John. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks, Dan.
That's John Murphy. He's been calling the Bills play-by-play on radio for 19 seasons. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Paulie Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
Of course you know us as the host of the number one rated Paulie and Tony Fusco show.
World renowned.
We all know you're sick and tired of these stupid sports shows where the hosts say stupid things like Tom Brady's the GOAT.
Or LeBron James is good at basketball, which he is clearly not.
See, we give you smart takes.
Yeah.
And we also bring on so-called famous guests from across the sports world and show them why we know much more than they do.
You're off the show!
Are you serious?
See ya!
Listen to the Paulie and Tony Fusco show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you like where Mercedes-Benz has been, you're going to like where they're going. With a full range of EVs now available at your local dealer, Mercedes-Benz is turning electric completely on its head. Experience the all-electric EQB, a versatile luxury SUV that can seat as many as seven. The brilliantly advanced and superbly equipped EQE SUV, positively alive with groundbreaking technology. The inspired EQE, the electric sedan with energizing comfort features that recharge you. The boundlessly capable EQS SUV, a vehicle that takes luxury and innovation to places they've never been before. And of course, the magnificent EQS, the flagship of all EVs, delivering the Mercedes electric experience on a truly epic scale. The vehicles are all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at your local dealer or mbusa.com/EQ.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
He is, I never thought I would say this, the former head coach at Duke, the Hall of Famer, winningest coach of all time, Mike Krzyzewski, back on the program. Where are you right now?
I'm in my home office.
What is in there that might surprise me?
Oh, a lot. The Dream Team autograph ball, all the Olympic autograph balls, national championships. Big time posters.
If you had to grab one thing, what would you grab?
I'd grab my family. There's one of my family at the London Olympics where we had all my grandchildren. All one was not here yet. And so I got, that's the highest picture here.
I'd love my family, but I'd grab the Dream Team ball.
I know, but that's what separates the two of them.
Who do you get to yell at now? Because like the mailman or the person delivering the pizza delivery guy. You got to have somebody you have to yell at, right?
Yeah, I don't yell anymore. That's why I'm doing the show. I figured I'm going to see if I've gotten rid of it for good. Mm. If I don't yell at you, you're like a litmus test as to whether I would yell again.
Oh, so this is the new and improved, the calm Mike Krzyzewski.
Why would you say that's new and improved?
I've heard about those practices, Coach.
Those were practices to make people better.
I remember Leitner telling me, he goes, oh, you guys don't get to see when he gets mad at us or hear. And I said, yeah. I don't know. I'd love to. And he goes, no, you wouldn't.
No, well, that was 30 years ago. So a big thing throughout the years, you have to keep adapting with how you communicate. And it's different, really. I bet I've done it 15 times, because kids are different at different time periods. And how do you get your message across while still holding them accountable? And they have to be held accountable in order to get better.
The role that social media played in the latter part of your career, how tough is that to talk to kids who are being spoken to, or they're reading social media, you should get more shots, or you're not any good, or you transfer? How much of that come into play with you?
Now, social media is huge. Now, there's a positive part of it and a negative. The positive is we have the best social media in college sports, and so they're promoted well. They learn how to use social media. Their names are out there. You know, there's a positive aspect to it, especially if you monitor it the right way. The negative is if you listen to the voices of unknown people who tweet you and, you know, get to you. And so we had a thing, you know, where we would talk about one voice, you know, like listen to the voice of our program, not to the voice, the outside voices. And but that's difficult. That's really difficult. So there's no question that social media has an impact, a huge impact on these kids, positively and somewhat negatively.
How many home games will you attend this year?
I will not be in Cameron in person for any home games. And I'll be either the first two I've been at home, but I'll probably be in my office and watch them in my office. And we also have some charity things that we're raising a lot of money for the Emily Krzyzewski Center and also for the V Foundation by having some people come in and have a dinner and then watch the game with me in my office. And you'd be shocked how much, you know, we have, for the Emily Krzyzewski, we have six events like that. And they were auctioned and they bring in $70,000 each. And then the V Foundation, there are two of them. And I think it's $150,000 for each one. So what the heck? You want to get one?
I don't know. Are you giving me one? Will I be on scholarship for the first?
No.
No. Okay.
There are no charitable scholarships.
Okay. Maybe a walk-on. Maybe I could serve the dinners.
You know what?
How about that?
I was just going to say that. There's a chance we can get you in here.
How are you, though? I'd love to observe you watching a game.
I'm good. You know, I watch it more analytically, you know, like and then make some notes. And then if John Shire, who's the coach and has done a great job, John and I are really close. And most of the time we'll get together, not right after the game, but the next day, and spend a few minutes and, you know, no earth shattering things like you should run a different defense or offense, but I might notice just something about one of the kids on the team or, and just listen to him, you know, where his head is at, because, you know, he's really good Yeah, not good. He's like really good. But he can bounce things off of me, and I'll give him an honest answer and use the experience that I've had. But, you know, Dan, I've known John since he's 16. And, you know, was a great player, a national champion in our program. And he was with me for 9 years as a coach. So we're very close. And I just think I really think he's terrific.
I don't know if there's any coach in America who's got more pressure on him than John does.
Yeah, you know, for him, he's always been the top player. You know, he's the player of the year in the state of Illinois, a state champion. John is accustomed to having the spotlight on him. And I think he was born to be in pressure, or what other people think are pressure is pressure.
Yeah.
And I think he looks at it as a great opportunity. And I think he handles things very well. As a player, I would say he's kind of unflappable. You know, he never got too excited. He never got down. And he did something as a player that we don't get very much anymore. And that is somebody on the court who can make decisions about your team in the moment it's happening, that they understand time, score, scouting report, who's in, and instead of, you know, waiting for a timeout or a stop action for a coach to tell them. And those type of players are invaluable. I mean, there just aren't as many like that. And he was one of them for me.
You miss practice or games more?
Interaction. Not games. I coached so many games. You know, I don't miss crowd or anything like that. The thing I've loved in my career is the interaction and the relationships with the players and the staff, and the infrastructure around our team where you're together. It's like a family. You know, we created, people talk about family and all that, but we actually had one, and they still do. John's done a really good job in continuing that culture, using his leadership and getting that across.
The former Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski joining us. You know, I never thought that I would be saying that. I didn't know. You probably thought I was going to retire first, but
yeah, I was waiting. I held on a few more years. And I couldn't do it anymore.
No,
I couldn't.
Not gonna.
I said, this guy's like the guy at the party that never leaves.
Yep.
Or the family that was coming for the weekend and a month later is still with you.
How about you go and surprise the Cameron Crazies and sit in there?
No, because it would be
distracting.
Yeah, distraction. Also, not respectful of what John's doing. Like, I've tried to just go to practice a few times. And if he asked me, like, if they're scrimmaging to watch, but I'll watch up above, you know, in Cameron. And, you know, he needs to have, it's his program now. And he needs to have me be there if he needs me, but not be there all the time. And, you know, I'm still in my same office. My wife and I, we have lifetime contracts at Duke to be ambassadors. And basically, Dan, we're doing all the things I did as a coach, except coach and recruit. You know, like today, you know, I'll have, after this, I have a Zoom with the 307th Fighter Squadron, the F-15s. For about a half hour. Then I have my own show, my own radio show. And then I, on Sirius, and then I'm meeting with, Ann Reed, who runs the Children's Hospital. And, you know, we've always been involved with a lot. And so we want to continue that involvement.
When's the last time you talked to Kyrie Irving?
I texted him probably 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
What are we missing with Kyrie?
You know, I'd rather not speak for Kyrie. I love Kyrie. You know, I have a great, I think a great relationship with him. He's really smart and really talented. And as a result of having this exposure, his own shoe, which now Nike has, stopped their relationship. It's a different world, and it's tough to, unless you're with the person all the time, it's tough to see how that all that has influenced. But with me, I love him. I'm in his corner, and I'm there to help him if he feels I can help him.
Well, I wondered about that sort of balance of when do I reach out or do I wait for that person to reach out, your former players?
Yeah, well, I would always reach out and give the opportunity if they wanted more, you know, and that's where texting comes in. And you know, he would text back, and but you don't, you know, the other thing is jumping in when you don't know everything. It's difficult to give counsel, your opinion.
Yeah.
Whether you think that's counsel or whatever. I do want him, just like any of our players, to know that I'm there, you know, for whatever. Kyrie actually played more games for me with the U.S. team than he did for
Duke.
He played eight games. And so I got to know him along the way, even though I didn't. Yeah, we had a good relationship his freshman year, but he wasn't playing. And I'll tell you, do we have time for a story about him?
Sure.
Okay, so when we recruited him, one of the top players, and he was born in Australia, so his dad played there. His dad's a great guy, and Dredd, and. In high school, like when he was 17, 18, he had an opportunity to play in one of the youth tournaments worldwide, and he could play for Australia or the U.S. And Australia was putting a lot of pressure on him, and he wasn't sure what to do. And I said, do not do that. Play for the U.S. And I said, you're going to be one of the guards of your generation, or maybe the guard of your generation. And you're going to be the point guard on the U.S. Olympic team at some time. Fast forward, he plays in the World Championships in 14. Our perimeter is Curry, Harden, and Irving. And we bring Clay Thompson and DeRozan off the bench. So I was such a good coach.
Yeah, amazing. He did a wonderful job.
I did.
Wow.
I did.
Underdogs. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to pat myself on the back. And then he was really good. And then in 2016 in Rio, we're getting ready to play Serbia for the gold medal. And in the locker room, they're getting ready. And I just knelt by him while he was putting on his shoes. And I said, you know what's going to happen today? And he said, yeah, coach. I said, you're going to be, I got chills thinking, I said, you're going to be the starting point guard for the U.S. Olympic team. And kind of an emotional thing. And so I have that level of relationship with him. And I know that he has a good soul and a good heart, and I love him. And I'm sorry that all this is, this is very unfortunate that all this is happening.
I think one afternoon you should just go down to the local YMCA and just start yelling at kids.
We have 14 acres of land. I can just, I can just go out and yell at squirrels and deer, birds. A lot of geese, you know, when you get a lot of geese, they leave behind a lot of stuff. So, you know, get the hell out of here, you geese. I might even call, I know what I'm going to do. Right. The next geese, Dan, get out of here.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, have you ever been named, a goose named after you?
No, I think I was going to be named after Geese Osby of the Harlem Globetrotters, but with my game. But that's about it.
You know, you have to, we haven't talked for a while. I thought you got over the fact that you thought you had a game.
Coach, I could come down to Duke right now and put on a shooting clinic. Okay. You want me to help somebody with their free throws? And you if you don't want, Hubert Davis has already invited me down to say, you know what, let's let's look at this because you're incredible, and I got 1 year eligibility left. If you don't want to take advantage of it, Calipari will, Izzo will. I help people. That's what I do. I help.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna talk to Shire.
Okay.
Today.
All right. Now we're talking NIL. If somebody wants to hook me up there.
You have a pretty good NIL going, all right?
I do. I got a damn good NIL. It's great to talk to you, and have fun in retirement, whatever that means.
Yeah. No, I'm really busy. I'm happy. I'm doing a lot of speaking for the Washington Speakers Bureau all over the country, and I'm at peace with there's no. I had Jay Wright on my radio show, the first one. And I said, do you have an itch? And he said, no. I said, I'm 75. I don't itch anymore.
That's a good thing. That's a good
it
thing.
It is a good thing. It's a good thing. All right. Well, yeah, as a has-been.
Yeah.
For me, you know, thanks for having me on.
Yeah. You know what? If you're bored, you need somebody to talk to. You know, because once you're not the coach, nobody really cares anymore. But I care.
That's what I was waiting for.
I care.
I had to wait a while for you to say that, but the fact that it was said means a lot.
Thank you, Coach.
All right.
Great to talk to you.
All right. Bye.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.